Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Now we are going to further studies of loyalties. Production and popularity. Loyalties was published in 1922 and first performed the same year on the 8th March at St. Martin's Theatre, London. It was immediately acclaimed as a great play, and this popularity has continued to this day. Of all the plays produced by Galsworthy during and after the war, this was the most successful. It was later performed in Vienna, Berlin, and other towns on the continent. At some places, the Jews bitterly criticized it as they regarded it as an anti-Jewish. But when they examined the play critically, they found that Galsworthy had been perfectly impartial. In fact, the play appears to be pro-Jewish. It is true that Winsor, his Christian guest, his servants, and even the police inspector are all prejudiced against De Lavis, the lone Jew in the play. But De Lavis is shown as an extremely shrewd and strong man who proves to be more than a match for all of them put together. He establishes his moral superiority over Christian, who know that Dancy is a thief, and yet support him. He is naturally very angry when Dancy condemns the whole Jewish race, but he is courteous and yet firm when talking to Mrs. Dancy, and at the end, when Dancy's case has collapsed, De Lavis appears to be the very picture of forgiveness. He rushes to his dentist's office to tell him that he does not want his money back and to warn him to do something because he has overheard that a warrant is being issued for Dancy's arrest. In behaving like this toward a person who has robbed him and tried his best to crush him, De Lavis impressed us as a very noble Jew. It is true that Gilman says that he does not like Jews, but that is because he admires them and is jealous of them. They are very good organizers and shrewd businessmen, and so they be the Christian in business. Gilman is against them due to trade rivalry. It is therefore not surprising that when the play was acted in New York, it was praised by everyone, Jews and Christian alike. Since then, it has acquired an international reputation as a great modern social tragedy. Now, the title of the play. The title of a play can be called appropriate if it indicates to an audience or a reader at a very outset the main purpose with which the dramatist wrote the play. If he wishes to teach a lesson, the title should indicate the moral which he wishes to inculcate in the minds of his readers. If his aims is only to entertain the readers, the title should indicate that. If the dramatist present an outstanding character and the play is concerned with an analysis of his motives and actions, the name of that hero will be an appropriate title for that play. If the aim of the dramatist is to present a problem in its various aspects of or to discuss an idea from various points of view, the title should indicate the main theme. Let us now see whether the title Loyalties correctly indicate the dramatist's purpose in writing this play. Galsworthy has written social tragedies which are very, very different from the tragedies of earlier dramatists, and so they are named after the social forces which caused the tragedy. Shakespeare and other great Elizabethan dramatists named their tragedies after their heroes because the tragedies are chiefly concerned with the reaction, virtues, and vices of the heroes. The hero is a superhuman personality who has all the traits of greatness but has one fatal flaw. The tragedy occurs because he is placed in circumstances in which the particular weakness of the characters comes into full play and causes the tragedy. Thus, Othello, Macbeth, King Lear, and Hamlet are the stories of the actions and the tragic fall of the heroes. It is therefore proper that the names of the heroes should form the titles of the plays. In Galsworthy's tragedies, the leading figures are not very important. Their personalities have been swallowed up by their fates, ideal and forces of modern social life. The plays are concerned with the problems of modern society. The conflict in these plays generally takes place between two powerful social forces. The titles of these plays are therefore chosen by the dramatist according to the themes of the plays. Thus, the play dealing with the conflict between capital and labor is called Strife. The play dealing with the problem of justice in modern society is entitled Justice. The play dealing with the conflict between the landed aristocracy and the newly rich manufacturing class is called The Skin Game. Galsworthy wanted to give a title to this play according to this theme. Now, what is the theme of the play? The play begins with a midnight theft and the investigation of that theft. But that is not the theme of the play. The theft is not a mystery at all. Except to the police inspector, the victim forms a shrewd guess of how the theft has been taken and who has done it done half an hour of its occurrence. The general finds confirmation of De Lavis's suspicions when he places his hand on Dancy's sleeve and finds it wet. At the beginning of the act, the second act, De Lavis openly accuses Dancy of being thief. Lartey's is not a detective story. The dramatist is not interested in investigating who is the thief. Thus, that is obvious. He wants to show how the different characters with their differing degrees of knowledge and class and so racial sympathies react to the theft. The loyalties crisscross and come into conflict with each other, and the friends of Dancy are faced with the main problem, which is this. Suppose a certain person has done something contrary to the laws of society. To what extent should he be protected by those who are bound to him by ties of family, friendship, regiment, religion, race or profession? Blind loyalty to a culprit may ultimately result in absolute disaster for him. General Canning, Windsor, and Margaret, who were almost sure that Dancy had committed the theft, should have persuaded him to return the money to De Lavis and apologize to him. If they had done that, everything would have been all right. But they sealed him because of their blind loyalties and actually encouraged him to file a defamation suit against De Lavis. Dancy should have told the solicitors the truth, but he kept them in the dark. The result was that when the lawyers got positive proof of Dancy's guilt, they felt that loyalty to their profession required that they must withdraw from the case. The result was that the case collapsed. A warrant was issued for Dancy's arrest, and when the police reached his flat, he shot himself dead. Thus, at great tragedy was caused because of the blind loyalties of all the people around Dancy. Galsworthy thus shows in this play that loyalties to one's relation, to one's friends, to one's race, to one's profession, etc. are good so long as they are kept within limits, but they are likely to lead to tragic consequence when they are opposed to fidelity to the laws of justice, truth, and morality. Loyalties is thus an appropriate title for this play because it correctly indicates the theme of the play. The theme of the play, Loyalties, as the title suggests, is a study of the various loyalties and attachments that bind people together in society. These loyalties often clash with each other. They pull an individual in different directions, and often he has to make a difficult choice between different loyalties. If we make a wrong choice, we may even cause a disaster to the person whom we love and respect. Margaret says to Adela, prejudices, or are they loyalties? I don't know. Crisscross, we all cut each other's throat from the best of motives. As the play opens, we get a wrong idea of its theme. A theft has taken place in their mysterious circumstances, and an investigation starts almost immediately, and the police is called. We feel that it must be a detective play, but soon we realize that we were wrong. De Lavis, who has lost the money, soon forms a shrewd guess that Dancy is the thief and stole the money by jumping from one balcony to another. General Canning happens to put his hand on Dancy's arm and finds it wet. He therefore becomes sure that De Lavis' guess is right. That is the end of their investigation. The rest of the play is concerned with the position taken up by the various members of this social circle regarding this dispute. From the beginning, it is obvious that Windsor, Canning, and even the servants are all hostile to De Lavis because he is a Jew. Windsor is loyal to Dancy because he has known him since he was a boy and a gentleman. General Canning is almost sure that Dancy is the thief, but he supports him because of his partiality for an army officer and a member of his race. But a little later, a clash arises between his loyalty to Dancy and his loyalty to the club. De Lavis has openly accused Dancy of theft, and so Canning feels that if Dancy continues to be a member of the club, in the present circumstances, the club will get a bad name. So he asks Dancy to file a suit against De Lavis and get his innocence established in a court of law. A similar clash of loyalties occurs in the mind of the Tuesday Dancy's solicitor. In the beginning, Dancy does not tell him that he has really committed the theft, and so his complete loyalty is for Dancy, and he fights the case very enthusiastically. Just when Dancy is about to win the case, Tuesday gets conclusive proof that Dancy is the real thief and he has deceived him. Now there is a clash between his loyalty to the client and his loyalty to his profession, and he decides in favor of the latter. He decides that he cannot go on with the case. The result is that the case collapses and a warrant is issued for Dancy's arrest. When Colford protests that the advocate should have remained loyal to his client, Tuesday replies, "When you have been so as long in your profession as I have been in mine, Major Colford, you will know that duty to your calling outweighs duty to friend or client." But for Colford and Mabel, there is no conflict of loyalties. In the beginning, they are in the dark about Dancy's guilt, but when they come to know about it, it makes no difference to their love for Dancy. Colford is the most sincere and loyal friend that a man can have, and Mabel is the most devoted wife that a man could have. It does not matter to her what Dancy has done or what happens to him. She will remain loyal to him unto death. The problem is in loyalty is this: if we know that a certain person has done something immoral, illegal, or unjust, should we shield him because of our ties of family, friendship, regiment, religion, race, or profession? Blind loyalty to a culprit may ultimately result in absolute disaster for him. Some of Dancy's friends knew that Dancy had stolen the money in the interest of truth and justice, and in the larger interest of Dancy himself, they should have persuaded him to confess his guilt and return the money. But actuated by loyalty to Dancy as they understood it, they protected him and actually encouraged him to fight against De Lavis. The result was that when truth came out and Dancy was to be arrested for theft, he committed suicide. Thus, the theme of the play is the loyalties which bind people to their fellow men on the basis of family, race, religion, profession, etc. Dancy says in his last letter that even the post-pistol keeps faith, is loyal to the person who is using it. The theme of loyalties was perhaps suggested to Galsworthy by the much discussed saying of Edwin Cavell, "Patriotism is not enough." Galsworthy's view was that loyalties are very good in a restricted way, but they cannot be a sufficient guide for a complex affairs of life. As Margaret says at the end of the play, "Keep faith, we have all done that. It's not enough. All those who show their loyalty to show in different ways at the cost of moral principles fail to shave him." The lawyer who fights Dancy's case and is hopeful of a favorable verdict should throw up the brief at the critical time and gets him into serious trouble. Even Mabel, because of her strong loyalty, prevented him from running away to Nairobi. When all the people owing loyalties to him fail to save him in spite of their best intention, it is a pistol which finally rescue him from a dangerous situation. If we pursue our narrow loyalties to our friends and groups and sacrifice our broad loyalties of the to the cause of truth, justice and morality, the consequences are likely to be tragic indeed. Loyalties as a tragedy. Loyalties, like the other famous plays of Galsworth, is a social tragedy. Dancy is an ex-army officer. He got a DSO in the war but has left the army now because in peacetime he finds the army too dull. He likes a life of adventure and loves to take risks. He is in great financial difficulties. In a moment of bravado, he robs the Levis SU of 101,000 pound. When he is finally exposed and is about to be arrested, he commits suicide. Dancy is a victim of the conflict between the Christian and the Jews. He is overwhelmed not by destiny or so weakness in his own character, but by the mighty force of law which he himself is set in motion under the investigation of his friends who were sure that he has the brief. Sure that he was the thief, but who shielded him because they were blinded by their hostility to the Jews. This social tragedy is very different from the classical tragedy as written by Greek dramatists like Aeschylus, Sophocles and Euripides. In Greek tragedy, the hero is crushed down by the mighty gods or by fate or destiny. The hero is a man of the gigantic proportion who is punished by the gods because he has consciously or unconsciously broken some divine law. The hero fights heroically, but he is powerless before fate. Finally, he is annihilated but not defeated. In romantic tragedies such as practiced by Shakespeare and other Elizabethans, the hero is again a man of rank, eminence and dignity, but his tragedy is caused not by some malignant fate but by a flaw in his own character. Character are becomes destiny. In Galsworthy's tragedy, there is no question of any external fate. The supernatural element is eliminated. The place of fate is taken by social forces which man himself has created, but before whom the individual is powerless. The hero and the villain are also eliminated. Persons like Felder, Jones, Anthony, Roberts, and Dancy are not exalted personages. In Loyalties, we see the petty animosity between ordinary human beings whom we meet every day in life. Dancy is not a man of heroic proportion. He is a commonplace individual. He, of course, won the DSO in the war, but that was because of his reckless nature. He does not behave like a gentleman. When De Levis makes a charge, which is ultimately proved to be correct, he calls him a damned Jew. And when De Levis comes to his house, he turns him out with the words, "Get out, you swine." He has no moral fiber. He does not hesitate to commit a theft, and he does not regret it afterwards. But he is not a bad man at all. He is just an ordinary human being with an ordinary individual's failing and foibles. De Levis is a decent person who is hated by the Christian only because he is a Jew. He is robbed by Dancy and also abused by him, but the observes great self-control. Once his position is vindicated in a court of law, he becomes the very picture of forgiveness. Mabel, Colford, Canning and Wincher are all fine individuals, but they all in different ways contribute to Dancy's fall by their blind loyalty towards him. Tragedy is always caused by some form of conflict. In Greek tragedy, the conflict was between the hero and fate. In Shakespeare's tragedies, there is a double conflict. In the first place, there is a conflict between the hero and the villain. Secondly, there is a conflict in the mind of the hero. Thus, in Othello, there is an external conflict between Othello and the Iago, and there is a terrible conflict in the mind of the hero. Othello is in great mental agony for a long time before he decides to kill Desdemona. In Loyalties, there is only an external conflict between the Christians and the Jews, and Dancy falls a victim to this blind force. He had committed the theft in a mad moment in a spirit of bravado. Within minutes of the theft, General Canning touched Dancy's arm and found it wet, and so he becomes sure that Dancy had committed the crime. If Canning and Windsor had not been against the Jews, the whole question could have been amicably settled. They should have persuaded him to return the money and apologize to D. Lewis, but they shielded him and encouraged him to file suit against D. Lewis when the missing notes were found with Ricardo's. Nobody could save Dancy from the clutches of the law, and the found escape only in suicide. One thing to be noticed is that there is no conflict in the mind of Dancy. He had no calm of conscience before committing the crime. He enjoyed to act. Jumping from one balcony to the other and back again was more thrilling to him than anything he had experienced in the war. Even when he is finally confessing his crime to Mabel, he does not express any regret for having done it. He has no moral remorse. His only regret is that Mabel did not let him run away to Nairobi. He does not kill himself because he is sorry for what he has done. He does so because he prefers to die a violent death rather than languish for many years in prison. His conscience did not trouble him either before or after the theft. In the technique of his social tragedies, Galsworthy has gone back to the Greek conventions which forbid violent action on the stage. Shakespeare shows all the action, even fights and murders, on the stage. Galsworthy believes that such actions should only be reported on the stage and must not be shown there. Thus, in Loyalties, all the important actions like the theft, the court scene, and the suicide take place off the stage and are only reported in the dialogue. In social tragedies, the characters are pitted against worse social forces. This struggle is naturally very unequal because the leading figure is too weak to resist the powerful social forces. The result is that whereas in classical and romantic tragedies, the hero so restless with fate or villainy that he rises superior to disaster even when overwhelmed by it, and thus awakens in us feeling of terror and revengeful envy. The social tragedies of Galsworthy's type moves us rather to sentiments of comparison. The effect is pathetic and not truly tragic. Good. One feeling that we get after reading Loyalties is that the tragedy could have been easily avoided. It could have been avoided if Dancy's friends had cared for moral values and had not been blinded by race. It could also have been avoided if Dancy had taken his wife into confidence from the very beginning. By her love and devotion, she would have brought him to the right path and kept him there. As it is, Loyalties strikes us as a tragedy of tremendous waste and undeserved sufferings. Dancy was a gallant soldier, and his life could have been very useful to the nation and to humanity. His life, which held out a great promise, is wasted by his suicide. Mabel is a very noble lady and a very devoted wife, and her husband's death must have caused great suffering to her. In Loyalties, there are no blood and thunder scenes, but man-made institution, convention, and laws move like engines of destruction move once an individual comes in conflict with them. Here we see the forces of the Christian and the Jews ranged against each other in a disastrous strife which cost the life of one gallant officer and tremendous sufferings to an innocent creature like Mabel, and brings disgrace to both the communities. We see here the tragic consequences of sacrificing justice, right, and truth for the sake of a false obligation to a social class and loyalty to one's own group. Types of loyalties in the play. The characters in this play exemplify various types of loyalties. Mabel exemplifies a wife's loyalty to her husband. Her loyalty is of the noblest type. Her husband Dancy deceives her and keeps her in the dark about his earlier affair with Ricardo's daughter and his theft, but she is loyal to him unto death. If he wants to go to Africa, she says that she would follow him. When the police comes to arrest him, she says, "Whatever happens, I will go on loving you. If it's prison, I will wait. I don't care what you did. I will be just the same when you come back to me." This is the noblest example of a wife's devotion to her husband. Then she says, "That's not in human nature." To this, she replies, "It is in me." Culford is a very sincere friend. He and Dancy have been together in the same regiment, and they have shared many dangers. His affection for Dancy does not change when he comes to know that Dancy has committed the theft. Dancy's last letter, when he is about to suit himself, is written to Culford. Culford exemplifies true friendship. Margaret Oram in Dancy's sincere and loyal friend. Dancy himself is loyal to the creed of daredevil and adventurism. Delevis is loyal to the best tradition of his race and religion. He is proud to be as you. "My race was old," says he. "When you were all savages, all the Jews in London sympathized with him. When the Dancy versus Delevis case is being heard in courts, all the Christians sympathize with Dancy. Gilman does not like the Jews. His loyalty is to the Christian countrymen. Ricardo is loyal to his daughter and tries to conceal her disgrace. Inspector Deed is a dutiful police officer. When Mabel requests him to be kind to her and go away and come back after half an hour, he does not agree. He has sympathy for her, but he is loyal to his profession. The police sergeant is loyal to his superior officer and to law. Treasure Windsor's butler is loyal to his employer and to his fellow servant at Meldon Court. After the theft, he suggests a complete search for the house so that none of the servants might be suspected. Robert, the footman of Windsor, is loyal to his employer. Boring is loyal to the courts of honor prevailing in the club. Windsor is loyal to all his guests. But when a conflict arises between Dancy and Delevis, he sides with his Christian friend against the Jew. General Canning is true to the fine tradition and esprit de corps prevailing in the British army. He is almost sure that Dancy has stolen the money, but he supports him and silences Delevis because Dancy is an ex-army officer, an old friend, and a Christian. But when there is a clash between his loyalty to Dancy and his loyalty to the club, he prefers the latter. He tells Dancy that he should get his innocence declared in a court of law so that the honor of the club may not be sullied. Twisden, the old solicitor, has loyalty to his clients as well as to his profession. But when there is a class between the two, he offers his profession. He is fighting Dancy's case with great zest, but when he comes to know that Dancy is really the thief and has kept him in the dark about it, he abandons the case. When Culford protests, he tells him that he must maintain the highest standards of legal etiquette. "When you have been as long in your profession as I have been in mine, you will know that duty to your calling outweighs duty to friends or client." Finally, Dancy says that even the inanimate pistol keeps faith. It remains loyal to the person who uses it. Thus, we find examples of all types of loyalties in the play. Characterization in loyalties. The importance of character. Galsworthy regarded character as the foundation of plot. He once said, "Take care of character, action and dialogue will take care of themselves." In loyalties, the plot is based entirely on character. The play is not concerned with the detection of a crime. It is concerned with the reaction of the various characters to the crime and the degrees of their loyalty to Dancy. A tragedy is caused because loyalties to class, religion, and profession take precedence over fidelity to morality, truth, and justice. No hero and no villain. In loyalties, there is no hero of superhuman stature and no devilish villain. The characters are ordinary human beings whom we might meet any day around us. They are victims of impulses and forces which they cannot control. They are drawn from his experience of real persons around him. The result in that is that his characters are real human beings of flesh and blood. They are ordinary men and human women possessing common human virtues and wishes. Social forces. Galsworthy is not interested in the revelation of independent personalities as Shakespeare's and his contemporaries were. As a writer of social dramas, the forces working in society were more important for him than the studies of individual characters. In Loyalty's events are shaped not by human potentialities but by the blind forces of racial, religious, family and professional loyalties and prejudices. The dramatist not interested in showing the traits and idiosyncrasies of the character. He is interested in showing how they behave towards other men. We see the behavior of a social group rather than of the individual composing it. Types and not individuals. It is said that Galsworthy's characters are types and not individuals. They represent classes and social forces. This is true of some of the characters of Loyalties. Windsor represents gentle, manly hospitality. General Canning represents the fine tradition and esprit de corps of the British Army. Boring represents the code of honor prevailing in a club. Lord St. Earth is a typical peer of the realm. All of them represent the upper middle class Christian society of England, and they are loyal to the Christians against the Jews. Tweeden represents the class of honest lawyers who can sacrifice everything for the honor of their profession. But all the characters are not types. Delevis is a complex character. On the one hand, he represents the Jews race, and on the other, he is a character with an individuality of his own. He tells Dancy at the end that he does not want his own money back. It could be given to some charity, nor does he want to take the cost of the suit. A typical Jew could never have become so generous. Mabel is almost not a type. She is an interesting study of a wife who is absolutely devoted to her husband. He might have done anything immoral or illegal. He might have cheated her and kept her in the dark. But in spite of everything, she remains loyal to him unto death. Here is a well-developed portrait with a remarkable personality and character. Dancy also does not represent any particular type of person. He is an individual whose conduct is in perfect harmony with his daredevil's spirit and reckless character. As a psychological study, Dancy is an admirably conceived character. He acts consistently as an impulsive and desperate person would go. The flat characters. It is said that Galsworthy's characters are flat and not round. There is no progress or development of character in the drama, but it must be remembered that Loyalties is a short play, and so the dramatist does not have enough time to develop the characters. Characters like Windsor, Lady Adela, General Canning, Lord St. Earth, Culford and Margaret Oram body forth from his play fully mature, and we do not see their gradual development. But Dancy and Delevis do grow and change under the influence of events. When Dancy goes to Tewsden's office towards the end, his face is perceptibly harder, like that of a man who has lived under great strain. Delevis too is not the same in the last scene as he was in the first. He has becoming kind and forgiving. Thumbnail six sketches. When a character is first introduced, Galsworthy gives us a short description of the character in the stage direction. These thumbnails, sketches of the characters are very vivid, and they bring the characters before us in clear outline. Within a few words, he paints a complete picture so that we seem to feel as if the person is standing before us. For example, he says the following words about Dancy. He has a pale, determined face with high cheekbones, small, deep-set dark eyes, reddish crisp hair, and looks like a horseman. Another dramatist would have given a detailed description of chief character, but Galsworthy gives only this brief description, and yet we feel that this short description is quite enough to enable us to understand his character and his role in the play. Our own word, Galsworthy knew human nature well, and his character in Loyalties appear to be living beings. He brings out the inner traits of the character by speech as well as thought. Quite often, their unexpressed thoughts give us an insight into their nature, and we feel that so vivid a picture could not be given in any other way. There are no soliloquies and no asides, and yet we know their minds as if we saw them working in a glass case. All the character of Loyalties are persons whom we have known or may come to know any day in our lives. They are like us. There is nothing unnatural in their behavior. We do not find in Loyalties a new word people by unfamiliar person. It is a picture of your own world with them, with men and women as we know them.